We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Gard. It's so great to be with you all this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. This weekend, exciting weekend, we've got the Conscious Life Expo this weekend. I am all over the place. I have a couple of panels that I'm going to be on and a keynote presentation I'm doing with Anita Morjani, which is going to be so great, talking about language from the other side. She and I both experienced near-death experiences from two totally different situations, different times, different backgrounds, yet we experienced the same thing. And this is the first time we're going to be together talking about this. This is going to be such a great conversation because I noticed in other interviews that I would do with Anita that she and I would have the same language. We saw the same things. And I wanted to do this in a forum at the Conscious Life Expo that other people can participate and share in this conversation. So it's going to be amazing. So that's Sunday at noon. This is all happening at the LAX Hilton. I'm also going to be doing at a booth there, and we're going to be doing demonstrations with the light therapy systems, which are incredible. These are used for decreasing inflammation and increasing circulation. So that booth is booth 455, and I am going to be there as well. And that's in the ballroom area. There's a big, huge exhibit hall. So check all of this out on my website, which is theawareshow.com. That's theawareshow.com. And also the lecture is going to be live streamed as well. So if you can't make it down for the weekend, which I highly encourage because it's a lot of fun, but if you can't make it down for the weekend, my keynote lecture with Anita is live streamed. So you can check that link out on my website as well, theawareshow.com. All right. So, oh my goodness, I found something super cool that I want to share with you. I have been a student and a fan of Access Consciousness for a long, long time. Dane here is such a wonderful guide and friend for me, as well as Gary Douglas, and both the founders of Access Consciousness. And I had a bars session run, and I don't know if you know what that is, but it's these points in the head where you can get the communication opened up in your head, where there's certain channels in the head with creating money and places where energy gets stuck. And so this wonderful lady who ran my bars, her name is Monica, told me about this book. It's called How to Become Money, and it's a workbook, and it was created by the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, and it is designed, it's a workbook, so it's only, I think this is 75 pages, but it's designed to help you get super, super clear about money, your story about money, and everything, just to completely change and dig it up, get it out, and then change and learn how to start having more money. But it comes from a source of energy. It doesn't necessarily always come from your to-do list. So Gary is joining me, and I'm really excited to have him talk about this because I got my book, and I want to find out what this is all about. Welcome, Gary. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I love having you on my shows. You and Dane, you're my friends. Okay, let's talk about how to become money. How did you start this entire concept around the workbook? What was the reason why you created this?
Originally, I was channeling, and I channeled these workshops on money, and then I put it together as a workbook because it was kind of amazed me that what I was getting as information was that in order to truly have something, you have to be willing to be it. Mm. I went, what? How does that work? Because that's not what I had learned before. Mm. Everything was about, you know, it's like, do this, then you get this, do this, then you get this. And I was not familiar with the idea that you had to be something or to have something. And so that whole concept, I went, oh, my God, in order to truly be able to receive something, you have to be willing to be it. If you're not willing to be totally sexual, can you, you know, have great sex? If you're not willing to be money, can you have lots of money? And the concept blew my mind. But in doing the workbook, what I noticed is my weird-ass points of view were the thing that were stopping me from having money. And I thought, you know, that's just crazy that your points of view stop you from having money. It's like it's obvious in one sense, but it's so foreign to what everything we learn. Because mostly we're taught that you have to do something to get something, not you have to be something to have something. So the whole concept of it really undid my world and created a new possibility and created a whole new way in which I looked at everything. And it just blows me away that we can look from such a different place and create such a different possibility.
Mm-hmm. And this is what the point of this, you could talk about it till you're blue in the face, but when somebody actually experiences digging into the questions that you ask in this particular workbook, it helps open up a lot of different places where money has gotten stuck in our emotions. And that, energetically, what does that do to the flow of money? And we have all this weight around it.
The idea that flow, it's like energy flows all the time, but it's like how much energy do we have to use against the flow to not receive? And that's the thing that this opens up. It opens up this place where instead of blocking what you can receive, you start to include what you can receive. And it's an amazing change from my perspective. I've watched one after the other people do this, and it just blows me away. I actually had a facilitator of Access who nobody wanted to do her classes. And I said, why don't you want to do her classes? Because she doesn't walk or talk. So I sat down with her and I said, okay, so what is it that you don't believe works with Access? And she goes, money.
Hmm.
I said, really? So how many times have you done the, you know, how to become money workbook? She said, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
What? You're a facilitator of Access. You haven't done this? No, it costs too much.
That. Well, this is what I was told to me by Monica, the woman who ran my bars. She said, have you done this workbook on how to become money? And I said, no, I didn't even know about it. She said, this single workbook has been responsible for opening up more people's money flow than anything that she's known is this workbook. Now, a workbook is kind of cool. It's channel. There's a dialogue in the workbook that's kind of a script between you and the channel being.
Mm-hmm. Channel being, mm-hmm. And the participants in the thing.
Workshop.
And
mm-hmm. Like, okay.
In the workshop, and it's like, holy moly, really? And it's like, I had one man who did, and he says, you could apply this same thing to relationship, and you could apply this to real estate, and you could apply this to, and I went, yeah, because the same points of view are there all the time. And we don't even realize that we have these points of view because you sort of mm-hmm. grow up with them and nobody challenges them, and so you assume that they must be true.
Mm-hmm. So how do you suggest people work with this? Because there's these deep questions that people are left to do on their own. What happens if they hit some energy, some stuck? So the questions
is they do the workbook and write their answers down on a different sheet of paper and redo it every 2 weeks. And it's like if they do, within 6 months, they got more money coming in than they ever had in their lives. And it happens again and again and again and again. And people go, how do you do this? I said, well, it's like every time you change one point of view, you open up your awareness to other points of view that may be stopping you. So every time you're willing to ask these questions again, you end up with your answer taking you to a deeper level of where you've stopped yourself from receiving.
Yes.
And when you get through the deepest levels of stopping your receiving, you actually start to receive, which is, to me, just amazing each and every time. I'm stunned. And it's like every once in a while I go back and do it myself, and mm-hmm. I go, oh, I didn't realize I had that in there.
Right, right, right. These different points of view keep us stuck. And I love that this is really practical. Access, I love access, and I love the questions and how the questions really can change energetically and conceptually your point of view around things. And this is the physical way of doing this, specifically about money. Then you can use it for everything else. But questions that you are asked is, what is money? What does money mean to you? What are three emotions that you have when you think of money? Now, why do you have in the workbook answer one, answer two, answer three for all of these questions?
Because usually most people have three answers, and after that they can't answer anymore.
Okay. All right. So as you...
Plenty of people in the world have three answers to everything, and then they have no more answers. Now, it's not because they don't actually have more answers. It's because three answers are about all people can handle, or so they think. So you literally have to be in this place where you start to look from a different possibility instead of from a completed point of view. And it's so amazing to me to actually have people do this stuff and get these amazing changes in their lives. And they go, why didn't I do this before? Mm-hmm. That facilitator I was talking about who didn't do it, I finally said, you need to do that book, and you need to do it about six times. Today, she's making more money than she ever has in her entire life. And people are coming to her classes because she gets that it actually works.
It actually works. This is such a simple, simple tool. Okay, so I just want to let the listeners know really quickly what's happening here, because I have more questions for you, Gary. So this is a fun drive here at KPFK, and what the fun drives are is donating money to public radio. This is public radio. This exists because of listeners. There are no commercials, no underwriting, no grants, nothing. This is just straight donation, a donation model that's existed for 55 years. So that's pretty cool. And it's existed like this because people do donate into the station. So I found this workbook and wanted to contribute this to my audience, but I'm asking if you could donate to KPFK. It's a $50 donation to the station, and then you will get a digital download of this very cool workbook that you can use over and over and over. And I know you will create more than $50 when you start to work with this. It is simple. It's not overly complicated, but it is very deep. And as Gary Douglas just said, in order to have something, you need to learn how to be it. So call us 818-985-KPFK and ask the volunteers, after you donate the $50, ask the volunteers for the How to Become Money workbook. It's a digital download. How does it get any easier than that? You just donate the $50. Thank you for that. And then get started on this, because make sure that you give the volunteers in the phone room your email address. Tell them to repeat it back to you so that you really get message sent, message received. You want to be able to receive this. And then start working. Okay, so questions. So you guys call right now. Just do that. Questions about this. You ask in this workbook, Gary, about what does money feel like, look like, taste like? These are all different questions, and each one of these has layers to it. But which direction is it coming to you now? Where did you get that perspective? Why do you ask it in that way?
We're all part of the channeling, and it's like what he showed me when I was channeling is that if you think money tastes dirty, then will you allow yourself to receive it?
Mm.
Part of receiving is how we taste things. If it's like it was interesting because the people that came to class who had the most willingness to have money, they thought money tasted like chocolate. And I went, what?
Wow.
That wasn't my point of view, but that was their point of view, and they were willing to have more money than the other people who were in the class.
Mm.
I went, okay, the money has to taste good to you in order for you to be willing to totally receive and have money. And that was a startling revelation for me, number one, but it's like one of the things I've discovered is great taste in food. You know, it's like when you like really good-tasting food, like for me, it's like I would go to McDonald's because it was cheap and I could afford it. But what I really wanted was gourmet eating. And when I was willing to let myself have the ability to eat gourmet food, my income increased.
Hmm.
The hell does that happen?
It's really interesting. You said receiving. So
yeah.
What do you mean by receiving money? We're trying to get it, aren't we?
Yeah, well, it's like mostly we're trying to get it, but the thing is that it has to be our willingness to receive it, because if we're not willing to receive it, then we can't actually be it. In order to receive something, you have to be willing to be it. So it was a whole different thing. And one of the things I'd done metaphysical stuff all over the world, trying to get my money stuff in order. And I went to a retreat where they said, okay, so if you, you know, it's like I said, how do I handle my money issues? If you weave on the loom of Maya in the seventh hour of the seventh sun of the blah, blah, blah. I went, what the hell does that mean? And how do I apply that to my life? And it's like, you know, for me, it was like, I'm sorry, I need something I can actually apply that works. And that's what this is. It's like literally, for me, it's like if it isn't pragmatic and if you can't use it and if you can't do it, you can't actually create. And I didn't realize what a pragmatist I really was until I did this workshop. And then it was like, okay, so how do I do this? What do I do? What do I need to do? So when you start asking questions like, what does money mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the one thing that amazed me is most people have the idea that money means I have lots to spend. Well, is that the way to have money or is that the way to spend money?
Wow. See, I have something that I realized because I've done a little bit of work on this, and chapter 11 is what are your three worst problems with money? And I got stuck there because one of my big problems with money is that I tend to lose it physically
yeah.
lose it. And I can't tell you how many times I have misplaced or lost, dropped out of my pocket, or in some cases it's stolen. And it is a theme in my life, Garrett, and I am trying to figure out where. So here I wrote this down and then I got super stuck. What do you suggest?
So it's like what I do is, okay, everything that allows me to lose money, destroy and uncreate all that.
Okay.
And what do I think that losing money, why do I think losing money makes more sense than having it?
Why would I think that?
Well, it's like, you know, it's like in your life. At what age did you start losing money?
Yeah, probably not deserving of it. Oh, I witnessed my parents losing it in a big investment.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the problem is what you tend to do is you buy what your parents' point of view is without even realizing
it. Yes, yes, right. So somehow I made losing money more important than getting it?
More real.
More real. Oh.
Than having it.
Sure. Hmm. Hmm.
Because your parents were real and
mm-hmm.
you were young. Money wasn't real to you as a kid.
So interesting. And here I'm creating the same scenario for my daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
The difficulty is what we tend to do is we tend to try and duplicate what our parents do because we don't want to do that. But we become it in order not to have the problem.
So
your parents lost trying not to have the problem of losing money.
Hmm. Well, I'd like to be done with that so that I don't create another generation of that.
Well, don't worry about another generation. Your daughter has to make her own way in the world. But the reality is you have to stop the place where you think that losing money is more real than having it.
Yeah, it's very, very much a theme. So if that is still happening today, calling attention to it and
destroy and uncreate it every time it occurs and go, everything that created this, pock and pod that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love once you learn about access and you learn about how quickly these terms can really dissolve issues, you get better and better and better and better at it as you go along. So I don't know. There's so much more to cover here, but I'm going to give people the opportunity to, and this is so great because somebody just called and donated $225. It's just so cool because you're getting it. You're getting that you, what Gary's talking about, it's this, when you have that charge off of it and you realize that it's just energy, it's one of the questions in here is, which is so interesting, someone donated it, said, in relationship to money, what is easier, inflow or outflow? These are the types of questions that get stimulated when you do this workbook. Now, the actual workbook part is 13 questions that you ask yourself and literally starts to unlock your unconscious points of view around money. And then once you do that, do it again because you'll get to another layer and another layer. So here's the deal. Just give us a call. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735, and donate $50 to KPFK. Super easy. And then you will get a, make sure you give the volunteer in the phone room your email address. You will get a link to the ebook. This is great because you can use it over and over and over again. It's only a $50 donation to KPFK. All the proceeds go directly to KPFK. Gary has been kind enough, and Access Consciousness has been kind enough to donate this to us, to the station, which I really appreciate because this is exactly what you're doing. Is you're giving. You're giving fully and effortlessly, and it's not a big deal to you. And it comes back to you with ease, joy, and glory, as you say in the book. And so that's the beauty of what we're doing here on public radio, and I really appreciate it because you haven't been on my radio show before, which is fun. Now, when you get to the end of the book and you have written out all of these things throughout the book, you add in specific parts about this conversation that you had with this guide. How does the conversation help facilitate moving the energy or the points of view around money?
Well, what happened for me personally is that I looked at the money because I'd always had this problem where I would have money and then I would not have money. It's like it was always an up or down thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like my money went up and down like a prostitute's panties.
Okay, we're on public radio here.
I said prostitute's panties. I didn't say anything worse.
Okay.
That has got to be allowable on, you know, on any form of.
You must know how irreverent Gary can be, which is.
Yes. I'm trying to show him.
Yes.
You know, it's like I just don't have a fixed point of view about anything, and I'm always looking for how do we create more in life. So I was, you know, it's like I looked at this and I went, wow, how come my money flows are always up and down? And I realized that I had decided that, you know, it's like when I was a kid, I would get money and I'd go buy my friends all the, you know, candy or whatever they wanted because I liked sharing my money with people. And my mother kept saying to everybody, Gary will never have money. He always gives all his money away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I bought it. And I went, oh my God, I bought my mother's point of view that I would always give everything I had away. Now, does that, you know, it's like if you buy that point of view, what choices do you have in life? Having money or getting rid of it? And I was always getting rid of it. And it's like, if my friends needed it, here's some money. I didn't have the point of view that it was right or wrong to give money. I had the point of view that somehow having money was never going to be my lot in life. Today, I have money because I'm no longer buying my mother's point of view that she sold me. But I didn't realize until I looked at it, oh, my God, my mother had said I would never have money.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I was fulfilling my mother's prophecy.
That's incredible. That's the type of thing you were able to get to the bottom of and unlock. It's so simple, and we don't know that it's running our entire – and it really literally can be that simple. Now, what about being owed money where you have receivables in a business or something like that? And where would that block come from? Because you usually, if you're owed the money, people pay it.
It's like, why are you giving credit to people? That would be my first question.
Mm-hmm.
But the second is, why do you expect them to pay it? It's like the thing is, you give things to people because you think they're going to pay you, not because you're asking the question, will they pay me? And when you start asking the questions, will this person actually pay me this, whole new world shows up. And it's like when you have money that's owed to you, first of all, never loan money to anybody you ever want to see again.
Interesting.
If you want to give money, loan it to them. If you ever want to get it back, give it to them. Because the people who actually care about you will return the money. But if you loan them the money, I can guarantee you they will go away and be gone forever.
Interesting. That's happened to me too. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So what is debt? If we could make this a, you know, macro conversation, what is America being in so much debt and all of that teaching? What type of point of view is that?
Well, the difficulty is that debt is really closely aligned to death. And it's like, and what we will do is borrow against our death, basically, thinking that we're going to get things better if we borrow. And it's like, you know, it's like the reality is we go into debt thinking this is the way out of the fact that we can't receive. But it's actually just another version of not receiving. What would we have to be willing and able to receive in order to have everything we desire in life?
So when, if you die with debt, what happens to the debt?
The debt then becomes the estate of your family.
Interesting.
That's not good.
No, right. If you, I mean, think about children and loved ones and so forth. Yeah, that goes to, that gets passed down, so it never goes away. So you're saying that debt is like death?
Yes. And every time you go into debt, see, it's like, I mean, how many lifetimes have they had debtor prisons?
A lot.
You know, it's like, lots of lifetimes there's been debtor prisons. I mean, Australia is dedicated to debt. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, do you have any criminal convictions? Question is it still required to get into Australia? I'm kidding.
Wait, do you, like, America's built on debt. I mean, our entire country is built on debt.
Yeah. I owe, so off to work I go.
Right.
You know, it's like 90% of the people feel they use debt as a motivation to create. It doesn't actually create anything except more debt. Because when you're in debt and you obsess about the debt, one of the things I ask people to do is, could you change it from debt to past expenditures?
Yeah, it just seems like,
go, what
yeah.
do you mean?
You're right.
Well, if you look at it, it's a past expenditure, something you expended in the past that you have not yet paid for. But if you look at it as past expenditures instead of debt, you can get out of it. And if you contribute, it's like when people say they're in debt, you know, $200,000. I said, how much are you paying on it per month? Nothing. Okay, so what if you started paying $10 a month toward that past expenditure? Well, that won't do any good. I said, try it. Within 6 months, they usually have it paid off.
What about houses? The houses are all, I mean, interest-only loans and the whole, you know, the loan crisis that we experienced here in this country, that's all built on the same concept.
Yeah. That, you know, it's like, okay. So it's like, is this house creating for me? What is it creating? And one of the things I ask people to do, I said, look at what you buy. If you buy a shirt and you ask, will you create money for me? And the shirt goes, yes. Are you going to sell that shirt for more money? No, but if you look really good, people think you have money, then they're willing to give you money.
And
they buy from you. So it helps when you realize that everything you buy, if you say, if I buy you, will you make me money? Creates a whole different world in which you're looking at how all the energies of everything in your life can contribute to creating your money flows.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Well, what about food? If you buy expensive dinners that aren't going to basically be in your body for another 24 hours, how does that create you money?
That is, okay, if you're buying dinner, if you buy a $200 dinner, on your credit card, and you pay the minimum payment on your credit card, that dinner will cost you $400 before it's paid off.
Right, right.
So don't buy what you can't afford.
Okay.
Can't afford to pay off your credit card each month, then don't buy things like dinner and put them on credit cards. Spend the money you have in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what that's how the entire housing industry got into so much trouble, is people were buying houses that were outside of their income range, and banks were loaning that kind of money as well. So it obviously imploded. So there's a very good example of that. So, okay, well, once again, I'm asking you about the fund drive here. Now, I have a question for you, Gary, about fund drives and donations to organizations. What is your perspective around this?
Well, it's like, you know, for this particular company, it's one of the reasons I agreed to do this and give this thing, because what you're doing is, what this channel is doing, I think, is a gift to the world, because they don't have to alter what they choose to say based on the criterion of the advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
They get to actually say what is true for them. And it gives people a place to hear something that's actually true and possible. That's one of the reasons I agreed to do this. Because for me, it's really important that we support the things that support more consciousness. And that's what I think this particular channel does for the world.
Beautifully said. You are absolutely right. And that is probably why I've volunteered here for 15 years. Gary, is that same exact reason. The station allows that freedom of speech to still exist and not to be bought and paid for media. And it's such an anomaly, too. 55 years this radio station's existed like this, and 90% volunteer run, or maybe even higher volunteer run, is that engineers and programmers and so forth, we donate our time because it's mission-driven, and it does raise consciousness. And you're right. Shows like mine exist on here because it supports consciousness raising. So this is so cool. People are just randomly calling in and donating money to the station right now, which is amazing. You can get the book, you know. You could get the link. Give it to someone else if you don't want it. But make sure you give your email address and get the book. And the phone number here is 818-985-KPFK. It's so beautiful, Gary. You just start talking about this truth, and it starts to open up the energy around money. Truth really opens things up. Okay, so the number again, 818-985-KPFK. Give us a call. If you can, donate $50 to this radio station, and then give the volunteers in the phone room your email address, and you will get a copy of, or link, download link for How to Become Money. This is by Gary Douglas from Access Consciousness, and he says, in order to have something, you need to be it. That is the reason why it's called How to Become Money. And this is a workbook that is simple yet very truth-revealing, and it helps you realize unconscious points of view you might have that keep you stuck in certain patterns around finances. If you want to learn how to really release that, you can affirmation yourself to death, but if you don't really get to the basis of the unconscious programming around money, those affirmations can't get through that unconscious programming. So, yes, let's just keep this going. The phone lines are ringing. Let's give us a moment for people to give us a call, because I know you're listening to Gary's perspectives here, but let's just pick up the phones right now. Give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. If you're driving, please pull over, be safe. Or if you're at work, you can go to kpfk.org, and you will get this workbook. And you download it, save it, and then plan to do this several times, because you will learn that there's different perspectives that you think about, that you'll hit, like I did, some energy on one of these questions, and you need to work on it a little bit. So it gets to the bottom of what is money to you, and what does it mean to you? And then if you have any energy around emotions around money, what it feels like, what direction it's coming to, what your judgments are around money, what opinions or points of view that you bought around money that is preventing you from having the flow of money in your life. This is doing the work. And I love this last question. It says, in relationship to money, to have an abundance of money in your life, what three things would be a solution to your current financial situation. Now, the only way you can come up with solutions, and the reason this isn't question one, which is where most goal-setting, money-setting places start, is what's your list? It can't be question one because you've got to delayer all of the other beliefs that you have around money in order for that last one to show up. So give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Keep the phone lines ringing. Thank you so much for donating to this amazing mission-driven radio station that's always here for you. So, Gary, I have a question for you. When people hit that last question, that in relationship to money, to have an abundance of money in your life, what three things would be a solution? What have you heard in terms of feedback from this or in the workshop?
Number one is usually winning the lottery. And I ask them a question, so how often do you play it? Never.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how can that be a solution to it? And the second one is usually when my mother dies or my father dies or my aunt dies or something. So in other words, you want somebody to die for you to have money.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's like, so what would happen if you were just willing to have the money and create the money? What? They don't even get it. They're looking for the solution as though money is a problem. And if you get that money is not a problem, it's a choice, what could you create if you weren't looking for the problem and were looking for the choice that could create a different reality?
Well, now, you mentioned this mantra that you have, all life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. And
yeah.
I noticed that you don't have in there, money comes to us with ease, joy, and glory, because it really isn't just targeted onto money with you, your perspective. It's life.
Yes. Well, the thing is, money comes to the party of happiness and joy and living. If you were having a party personally and you called people and said, I'd like you to come to my party. So what are you going to do at the party? Nothing. Well, what are you going to eat? Nothing. Well, so what's the purpose of the party? I don't know. Would you go?
No.
Well, money has the same point of view. Doesn't desire to go to the place where joy doesn't exist.
It doesn't desire to go to the place where joy doesn't exist. So having joy around money rather than making it a problem. But most people make it a problem.
They do. Huh. You know, it's like one of the things I've talked to people a lot about, how do I create money? And I go, well, first of all, it's like you don't want to create money, you want to create wealth.
Okay.
They go, what do you mean? I said, you want to surround yourself with things that other people would desire because other people desire those kind of things and consider them the appurtenances of wealth. They go, what are you talking about? I said, so one of the things I realized is that people I knew had lots of money had sterling silver flatware. Could I afford a sterling silver flatware set? No. But I could buy for like $10 four or five spoons that were sterling silver. So I started collecting all these pieces of sterling silver. None of it was matched, but it was all sterling silver. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but the idea of born with a silver spoon in your mouth was not about wealth, but about health. Because silver, when you eat off of it, part of it goes in your body, and it's good for your body. That's the reason they have things like colloidal silver and stuff.
Like a mineral. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
So what I did is I started buying all these things until I had this large collection that I paid, practically speaking, nothing for. Because people will sell individual pieces of sterling for next to nothing because they don't think it has any value. And eventually, I ended up with enough pieces that I was able to sell it for like $1,500 and then buy a sterling silver flatware set that was all matched for
$2,000. Wow. Wow. You really have figured this out.
Oh, thing. And I only had a few bucks. But the thing is, you want to spend your money not on, you know, like I got $5, so I'm going to go have a drink or I'm going to go have a coffee. You know, it's like I got $5. What can I buy with $5 that would make me wealthy in the future?
Mm.
And when you start looking from that perspective, It's amazing when it starts getting creative. I bought antiques for literally for, you know, like $25 or $50 because that's all I could afford. And 5 years later, I could get $450 for them.
Wow. And you've researched, so you've created that as a, just as a side business, like as a trade, right?
Well, it's a side avocation. I love it. You know, it's like I ended up getting into an antique business. I have an antique business in Brisbane, Australia, for, of all places. But I got into it backwards because I was trying to help somebody else. And they took advantage of me and they stole money from me and I ended up with an antique business I didn't particularly want. But I had enough antiques as I sent things over there, and now today it's a successful business. And it's becoming more and more successful daily because it has the widest range of eclectic things that you could add to your life. And it's really interesting to realize how many people actually like unique things. And the thing about antiques is you're never going to see them again.
That's true. But it's interesting because most people would look at the partner that took the money and so forth as a stop for never doing anything like that again and focus on that and make that a story and live life from that perspective. How did you get over that?
Well, to a certain extent, this book. Because when I started looking from, okay, what am I, you know, creating money from? What have I made meaningful about what I have or what I do? And it was amazing to me to see that there's a whole different possibility. What do I need to do? How do I need to be? What's actually possible? And the end result was this place where I started to look at how can I create something greater with what I've got? Mm-hmm. And it's like that's why I started buying, you know, antiques and stuff, because I could, you know, I'd go to the swap meet and I'd find something for $10 and it was pretty and it was nice and I took it home and then I'd find out it was worth $50. Cool. So now I just took my $10 and turned it into $50.
Yeah.
What's my life going to be like if I took every $10 and tried to turn it into 50 or 100, 1,000? You know, it's like this is what starts creating that place where you're willing to have and be more money, because you start going, I spent 10 and now I have 50.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very cool.
So do you think that somebody who maybe has a project like starts a yoga studio or something they're super passionate about, it, or a green smoothie you know, cafe, and they wind up investing and investing and investing, and at what point do they keep investing before it's time to move on? Is there a difference energetically with the person that invests the same amount of money? One person makes money, one person loses money. What's the difference?
First of all, if you're passionate about something, the passion, if you look it up in an old dictionary prior to 1946, means to be tacked to the cross as with Christ.
The passion of the Christ, of course.
If you're following your passion, you tend to end up being tacked to the cross instead of creating a greater possibility.
That really turns the whole follow your passion on its heels. So what do you follow instead?
Your joy. What brings you joy? Because when you do that which brings you joy, then that's the thing I talked about earlier. It's like the party of joy is where the money wants to go. It wants to go to where the joy is, not where the passion is.
The joy instead. That's the difference. Joy, if you think about it in the biblical terms, joy is when Christ rose. The passion of the Christ is when Christ died. Think about that. Interesting. Okay, well, we so far have raised $500 here at the station, and I know that we can continue to contribute into this radio station. I know that this is such an interesting interview and we could keep going, which we're going to, but I want to give you another opportunity to give us a call here and donate to KPFK, because that's what we're doing right now during this fund drive. And here's the phone number to call, 818-985-KPFK. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We had Sonia from Pasadena give us a $50 donation. She got a copy of the How to Become Money workbook. This is a $50 donation to the station. Give the volunteer in the phone room your email so that you can, after you donate the $50, then you will get the digital download and the station will be able to send it to you. So here is the number, 818-985-KPFK. I want to thank Mary from Covina. Thank you so much for your $50 donation to the station. Gary from Pasadena. Thank you so much. Pasadena is coming through for us. 818-985-KPFK. Gina from the Marina. Thank you. You rhyme. We love you. $50 donation to the station. Keep the phone lines ringing. Thank you so much. Stephen from Los Angeles. A $50 donation to the station. Just keep the phone lines ringing because now is your opportunity to call and just do this. I mean, just do it. How much is it costing you not to do this where you are committed to holding on to those stuck points of view around money? Wouldn't you rather try something? I mean, what have you really got to lose? Nothing, in my opinion. Wouldn't you rather try something and it be invested in making it work? And you're also investing in a mission-driven, incredible radio station. So how does it get any better than that? Thank you to Ken from Sherman Oaks. Thank you so much. A $50 donation to KPFK. Will I Am from Hollywood. And William. $50 donation to KPFK. This is bringing in the joy. That's what we're doing. Thank you, Andrew, longtime listener of The Aware Show. Thank you so much for your donation. Knows Access Consciousness, has worked with Access Consciousness. So thank you so much for donating to the station. We're going to move this. We're going to double this $500 to $1,000 by the end of this hour. I can feel it. So keep going with the phone lines. Gina's going to check and see who else we're going to thank. Thank you so much. Keep the lines coming. 818-985-KPFK. This is All of Life Comes to Us with Ease, Joy, and Glory. If you want to find out more about that statement, it's in, and it's how Gary came up with that statement in this How to Become Money workbook. Now, this is such a simple, simple thing to do, yet it goes into a level where you can start to unbury these unconscious phrases or points of view that we bought around money. People are on the phones. This is so cool. People are calling 818-985-KPFK. So by the way, I love this question that you ask in the back of the book. What if money was just a vehicle to change the world? What do you mean by that, Gary?
Well, one of the things for me that's real is, like, the purpose of money should be to change people's realities, not about having a better life, quote unquote. Actually, I've decided that whatever you raise this hour on this show, I will equal it.
Gary, you are awesome. Thank you so much. That is really, really cool. Well, thank you. That is really super cool of you. Thank you so much, Gary.
I must call me tomorrow and I will, give him my donation.
Okay. All right. We will. I really, really am grateful. And thank you for believing in Pacifica and KPFK. That means a lot. That means a lot. People are on the phone. This is really cool. What if money was just a vehicle to change the world? So this is something that takes it to a bigger perspective rather than just buying things and stuff and clothes and shoes. You're going to a vehicle to change the world. How do you change the world if you were to make
You can do it in really simple ways. Like I was in Pennsylvania and I had an appointment and I was early. So this lady and I stopped at a coffee shop and we asked for a donut and a cup of coffee. And the lady went over and she brought one cup of coffee, and the lady said, "Can I have cream?" And she went over and got the creamer, and she said, "Can I get a spoon?" And she brought that over. And then I said, "Can I get a cup of coffee too with cream and sugar?" And she went over and she got a cup of coffee and she brought that. "Do you have enough cream in that one?" And it's like I'm going, "Wait a minute." I said, "Have you ever done this before?" And she goes, "No," and she starts sobbing. "Oh, my God, I was married for 25 years, and my husband divorced me, and I've never done anything, and I don't know how to do this, and I'm going to fail."
Wow.
And I went, "Holy shit." Sorry, I know I'm not supposed to be
radio. But she found the right person. She found the right person, okay.
It's like, and I said, "Look, here's how you do it. You put one cup here, the creamer here, the sugar in this hand, and the spoons in this hand, and then you add the donuts here and here, and you got it all in one fell swoop. And she went, oh, my God, nobody ever showed me that.
Aww. Uh-huh.
I went, oh, cool. So, you know, she brought us a bill, and it's like it was $6.79. So I left her $12.
Oh.
Came running out, and she said, sir, you paid me too much. I said, no, that's to let you know that you will succeed. Don't ever doubt yourself.
Aw, that's a great
Change
story.
Change her world because of giving her six friggin' dollars was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. You changed her world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, changed her world. It's like you change the world one person at a time. So you look at the people you give money to. Like, it's like years ago I had this guy who watched my horses, and his brother-in-law was killed driving a truck on Christmas Eve. Mm. So his nephews and his sister, who had no money, they made $50 a month. It's like they had no life. And so I said, here's $300, give this to your sister. But the condition is this, she must spend half of it on the kids for Christmas. The rest of it she can use any way she wants. And it's like she would call me up afterwards, and we did that for several years, and she would call me up and say, my angels, and she would say it in Spanish. It was like $300 changed that woman's life and changed those little boys from the death of their father on Christmas Eve to a time of happiness for Christmas Eve.
Mm.
You know what? That's using your money to change the world.
Yes, absolutely. That is the type of gift that it's so much more valuable than the $300. Yeah, that is. And gosh, doesn't that make you feel good? Just that story makes me feel good. Yes.
You know, the thing is, it's like it makes you feel good, but it's like it's that place where you're willing to be generous enough to allow somebody else to have more as well. And it's like, you know, people, one of the things people said, always give to somebody who has less than you. And I said, no, I'm going to give to somebody who has more than me. And they go, what? And I said, yeah, I'm going to give it to somebody who has more than me. How can you do that? I said, you just give something that has value to somebody who has more than you. So I had all these antique dealers in my life because I've been buying and selling antiques for years. And so I gave a whole bunch of really valuable stuff to one of the antique dealers.
To someone like that who would understand the value of it, yes.
And it's like, and she said, you know, it's like she said, wow, you must be richer than I thought you were. That's the judgment you want in your life. People go, you're richer than I thought you were. Because if they do, then that judgment will create more money in your life. Now, people always avoid judgment. My point of view, you want to really receive more, be willing to receive judgment. Every time you're willing to receive a judgment with no point of view, you increase your income by $5,000 a year. Every time you avoid a judgment, you decrease your income by $10,000 a year.
So, example of that. So someone has a judgment of you that you have too much money. You accept that, and that's okay.
Yeah, because then the universe goes, oh, he has too much money.
Even a negative judgment?
They'll put more energy on their negative judgment than they will on their positive judgment.
And that, so when you're receiving the negative judgment, be willing to receive it, but not in a way that you hold on to it or buy it, let it go through you.
You know, people say, you're a jerk. And I go, thank you. You know, I didn't mean that as a compliment. Oh, I thought it was. And they go, how could you think that's a compliment? Because I am a jerk sometimes. I thought you were acknowledging what is true for me. You're a jerk. I go, cool. $5,000 more that year.
I do understand what you're saying in a way that because you are willing to have the positive and the negative of anything, and it's all the same to you. It's all neutral to you. So the less you're buying into other people's perspectives, the less your energy gets stuck, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Positive and negative are only the judgment we put on something. It's not actually true. Energy is just energy. Hmm. You know, it's like Do the birds get up in the morning and go, I'm having a bad feather day, so I'm not going to give you any songs?
Nope. Not right now, especially.
Mm-hmm. Does the fruit say, you didn't thank me, so therefore I'm not going to give you any fruit this year?
Mm-hmm.
No. The universe actually has the point of view. Nothing is right or wrong or good or bad. It just is.
Mm.
And if we could get to the point where we were willing to see that it just is, greater possibility would occur in a heartbeat.
Mm. Even if you are donating to something you don't believe in, so say you have a judgment about the Red Cross and you don't think the money's going to help the victims of the hurricane or the tsunami, is that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of it will. The one thing you got to be willing to do is recognize what actually works, because some things, you know, it's like most charities, only about 6 cents out of every dollar goes to, you know, goes to paying the victims.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You ask the question, you'll find out. But there are a lot of good charities out there, and there are a lot of good people in the world.
Well,
you just have to be willing to see the good and not have a point of view about it.
Right.
And you have to be willing to look at what works for you.
Someone calling in about gas prices and not wanting to donate the money or pay for big oil companies that destroy our environment. And so she's got a little energy on something like that, right?
Yeah.
How would she release that?
If you fight against those things, all you do is give them more power. If you go, okay, so what else is possible and what can we create beyond this? Ask a question. A question empowers the universe to change. A conclusion or an answer or a decision or a judgment limits what can get created.
Mm. Wow. We have a lot to learn here. And so, okay, we're coming towards the end of the show, and I want to give people the opportunity to give us a call once again. The number is 818-985-KPFK. What judgments have you bought around money, and how willing are you to let those go? And this is a way to facilitate letting that go. So give us a call here, 818-985-KPFK. This is just, you know, we just have a minute left here, so get the phone lines ringing right now. Gary's going to match anything that's donated for this show, which is a blessing, which is such a gift. Thank you for that. So give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. Tell the volunteers in the phone room you want to donate $50 to the station, and then you will get the link, given your email address, for the How to Become Money workbook by Gary Douglas. And this is a workbook that's designed to change your stuck pictures around money. Simple, very powerful, has changed hundreds of people's lives. And it works. So keep the lines ringing. Thank you so much for everyone who has called in. And thank you so much, Gary, for contributing to us this hour and to KPFK. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk with you again.
Glad to help.
Thanks. All right. It's up to you now. Call us, 818-985-KPFK. $50 will change your world. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.